everyone, and welcome to the Adrift on the Sea That Is the Internet with No Name podcast. My name is Jason Carello, and I'm here with my friend Chris Withers.
Hello, Jason. Good to be back.
Stanley Cup Finals in the books, and the Chicago Blackhawks, damn them to hell for all eternity, have won the Stanley Cup in six games.
And yet, we've got to say congratulations.
I suppose.
You dirty, rotten, ugly, stinking, dirty playing, dirty dating, dirty hair wearing, greasy mofos.
I will say thank you to the Chicago Blackhawks for winning in six games. I now have bragging rights for the offseason.
You also have bragging rights because you have much better hair than Patrick Kane.
Everybody has much better hair than Patrick Kane.
You know what I gotta say? I intimated this at the end of the last podcast. I'm gonna say it again. Dustin Byfuglien, he looks pretty good hoisting that cup.
Yeah. And he's a big fella.
He is a large man. He destroyed Chris Pronger.
He did it.
In game five.
Pronger had no answer for him. Pronger, Chrissy Pronger, if you will, had no answer for anybody on Chicago in that game. But yeah, Byfuglien pretty much owned him.
There was one hit in game five that, I thought Dustin Byfuglien in game five potentially gave Jonathan Toews a run for his money for MVP. In that one game
just
alone.
Just for the game?
But not just that one game. He is the one who 2 years running has gotten in the grill of the Canucks and helped to knock them out. Jonathan Toews did not knock the Canucks out. Jonathan Toews did not.
There's definitely an argument there. I mean, they looked suspect against Nashville. They realistically could have lost that series to Nashville.
Byfuglien woke up against the Canucks. He almost single-handedly put the fear of stink into the San Jose Sharks.
He didn't really wake up against the Canucks. They inserted him into the first line with Toews and Kane. That's a really good match. I mean, it's like the Canucks back in the day when we had the West Coast Express. The reason that line worked so well was because Bertuzzi was so hard to handle.
Well, The Hawks won it. A lot of people predicted that preseason, and they were right, and they were, you know, full marks for the win.
Yeah.
I got to say congratulations to Chicago, the city of Chicago, their first cup in, since the Ice Age, and they deserve it.
You know, what's almost even better is now the longest drought in the NHL
belongs to the Buds.
The Buds, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs. And good luck, Brian Burke.
Yeah, the blue and white, you're wearing that well.
So a couple of things that are in the news this week.
It's awards day.
It is awards day.
June 23rd, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, the NHL will be handing out awards. Two of our boys are on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hope. Henrik Sedin, up for the heart. Ryan Kessler.
For the Selke, yep.
For the Selke. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We actually recorded our picks for the trophies a few weeks ago.
We did. We didn't really want them to be tainted by the performances of the playoffs.
We recorded them during the second round, basically, because we were already, you'll hear what we say about Ovechkin in a few minutes. June 23rd is when we find out if we're right.
Yes.
Another event coming up on July 9th, Richard Lote, he's a local Canucks blogger. He's on Twitter as Mozy19, Mozy19. He's a really good guy, lots of information, huge Canucks fan, also owns an amazing retro Team Canada jersey that I'm incredibly envious of. He and a friend of his started something called Five Hole for Food.
Street hockey with food donations going to the food bank.
And this is going to be across the country starting next week.
Every major city they're doing, right?
Every major city in Canada, across the country, they're driving from the East Coast all the way to Vancouver. They're going to end up here July 9th, 5:30, Sunset Beach Park. Bring your stick, bring a can of food, or two, or 10, or 100.
Yeah,
and it's an amazing event.
Got some big names lined up. I mean, the Abbotsford Heat are going to be out there. The Giants are going to be out there. I think you mentioned earlier Richard Brodeur.
King Richard himself is going to be out there. I don't know if he'll be stopping any orange hockey balls.
I don't know that the years have been good to that one.
To Richard, King Richard?
Yeah.
I know he had gained a little bit of weight there for a while. Yeah. I think he's taken some of it off, though.
Oh, well, I hope so.
You got to remember, he was playing in 82.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's not 2 or 3 years ago.
He's getting up there.
Check it out. Fiveholeforfood.com. Again, you can get that information on CanucksCorner.com or through the Vancouver Canucks website. Yeah, just some great stuff. Now, on to the news. Just two pieces of news I want to talk about. once again, I get to say, holy halak!
Bizarre deal. Absolutely bizarre.
Just this morning, the Montreal Canadiens, after their amazing run, they took out two of the big favorites in the East. They took out Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals, who had 83 victories this year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't they have 83 regular season victories this year? They beat them in seven games. The second largest disparity between a number eight team and a number one team, where the number eight team won in NHL history.
I thought it was the largest.
No, the second largest. The Minnesota North Stars.
Right, with Chicago, wasn't it?
Beat Chicago, yeah. And that was the largest one. Huge win. They beat the Penguins. Again, Halak stood tall. And Montreal have traded away his rights to the St. Louis Blues, Jay Diggle, John Davidson.
Please don't say that ever again.
Jay Diggle had better sign this guy.
I'm baffled. I'm baffled why you would take Carey Price and his $2.2 million guaranteed salary for next year. He's an RFA, but they've got to pay him at least that much for next year.
I want to know, what exactly has Carey Price done to scare the Habs into keeping him as the number one guy?
It's a family podcast, Jason. It's a family podcast, and we can't go there.
Does Carey Price have Henri Richard's nutsack in a bag somewhere?
Okay, we're going there.
I'm going there. Does Carey Price... I mean, Carey Price... Isn't Carey Price also all bench-warmy and stuff? Like, this guy...
It's unfathomable. There are two possibilities that I can see. One is that maybe it's known to the Habs that he's going to the KHL. Or maybe he just decided that he wanted out.
But this would be like the Chicago Blackhawks, after their run this year and after winning a cup... This would be like them stating unequivocally that Cristobal Huey is their number one guy and they're trading away Antti Niemi.
No. This is the equivalent of them taking one of their big four, like Taves or Kane, and shipping him out of there. Halak is not comparable to Antti Niemi in any way, shape, or form.
Except Niemi just won Chicago their first cup in 60 years.
With a vastly superior team.
Agreed. I can give you that.
I just don't understand it at all.
Like I said, Jay Diggle, I'm going to keep calling him that just for the look on your face.
All right.
So Jay Diggle has got to have something up his sleeve. Maybe it's Jay Diggle who's got Henri Richard's nutsack in a freezer somewhere.
Maybe.
Let's hope for St. Louis's sake that they sign this guy, because when they had decent goaltending, when Chris Mason was on last year, St. Louis was a hard team to beat. They looked pretty good.
Yeah. You know, I think that Halak performance is one of the very, very few times that I have ever seen a goalie actually steal a series. There's plenty of times out there where a goalie has been a very, very key piece, but Halak, that was highway robbery. It was absolutely disgusting.
Is this where I get to be all pretentious and say, gosh, Chris, you're so young? Because if you take a look at... Billy Ranford winning the Stanley Cup for the Edmonton Oilers. He stole a series from the Boston Bruins. Cam Neely, who is going to be in my news bit in a moment, Cam Neely should have had a cup ring in Boston along with Andy Moog and Ray Bourque and Gary Galley and all those guys. Going back a little bit further, Patrick Roy stole the Stanley Cup from the Los Angeles Kings. In 93, they won 10 consecutive overtime games.
Yeah.
The NHL record, Patrick Roy. It was all Patrick Roy.
And the reason I stick to my guns and say Halak is more impressive is just because of the caliber of team that he was dealing with. That team arguably shouldn't have even been in the playoffs.
Well, you could say the same thing about the Philadelphia Flyers, and they made the final. And they took a very good Hawks team to 6 games.
Yeah.
Very good Hawks team. Anyway, the second item on my list, Cam Neely, Maple Ridge product, good BC boy, Hall of Famer,
mm-hmm.
Canuck draft pick, got traded away by the Vancouver Canucks.
Infamously.
For, do you know who it was for?
Barry Peterson.
Does the name Barry Peterson ring a bell? Barry Peterson, who I'm sure is selling cars somewhere right now, or not selling cars right now.
Well done.
Cam Neely was named the Boston Bruins president of hockey operations this very day.
I hesitate to comment on this because I don't know what kind of business experience the guy has. I'm sure he's got people around him that are going to help him through it, but it seems odd to make someone your president unless he's been going to school and has an MBA in the time he's been out of hockey.
I honestly don't know what his role has been with the team. I've seen him on nearly every broadcast. He's been in the press box.
I think it's maybe just a PR move on their part.
It's a good one if it is a PR move. Yeah. I like the fact that he's with the team that made him the name that he is in hockey.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing a guy like Phil Esposito in Tampa Bay. I don't like seeing Stevie Y in Tampa Bay. As smart a move as it is for the Lightning to get a guy like that in there, I want to have a player stay with his original team.
Yeah, it's becoming less and less common, though, for a player to stay with his original team for the duration of his career.
And not just his career, but after that. How much did you cringe seeing Michael Jordan...
As a wizard. Yeah, that was terrible.
Wayne Gretzky in a St. Louis Blues uniform.
Gretzky, I don't know, because he played for four teams, ultimately.
And every time he moved, I just say he's an Oiler. And even to this day, he's on the cover of this new Wii hockey game as an Oiler, like he should be. And like he should have been for his whole career. Look at a guy like Mario Lemieux, Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's the way it should be. Marty Brodeur will never be associated with another team for me. I don't care what he does as a GM or as a coach or anything else. He's a New Jersey Devil.
I love rumors. I saw a Brodeur to Atlanta rumor the other day. It just cracked me right up. It'll never happen. He's going to be a Devil for life.
I'm sorry. I won't even... I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. We're going to do something a little bit different this time. We want to do a little congratulations to the one Vancouver Canuck who ended up with a Stanley Cup ring this spring.
Yeah, it was, of course, the ugly, the greasy-haired depth defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks, Brent Sopel. Sopel, of course, Jason, one of the rare players that is drafted by the Canucks and then actually manages to break into the league and does so without demanding a trade somewhere else. Sopel, a good Canadian lad out of Calgary, Alberta. He's now 33. Back in the day, in his junior career, he played in the Dub with Saskatoon and with Swift Current.
A good prairie boy.
Good prairie boy. And was then drafted by the Canucks. 1995, he was drafted in the sixth round, 144th overall. He broke into the league 3 years later, played just five games in that first season, and managed to notch his first ever NHL goal that year against the Edmonton Oilers. Sopel remained a Canuck until about the end of the 03-04 season when he was dealt away to the New York Islanders.
So he played 8 years as a Canuck?
What would that be? That would be 6 or 7 years with stints in the minors in there.
Right, because he didn't break into the league immediately after being drafted.
Right, yeah.
Right, so 6 years?
Okay. 1998 till 2004 he was a Canuck. That was his most productive year, actually, his last one with the Canucks the first time around. He had 10 goals and 42 points that year.
And, you know, 42 points, if I remember correctly, that year we had Ed Jovanovski on the back end, Matthias Olund. Anybody else of note?
Not that I remember, but...
We also had...
was Salo on the team at that
point? Sammy Salo, I think, was with the team at that point. But he was not a top two defenseman.
No.
But scoring 42 points as a fourth or fifth defenseman...
Yeah, with a lot of power play time.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got a great shot. Now, here's a sequence of events for you, and this is just... This is how the Canucks traditionally have handled their draft picks. 2004... Brent Sopel gets traded away to the New York Islanders. They get a second round pick in return.
The Canucks got a second round pick.
For Brent Sopel, right. Yes. They did absolutely nothing with it. The guy that they drafted in the second round that year never played in the NHL. I don't even remember his name. Sopel gets traded to Los Angeles. He was part of the big deal that involved Mark Parrish and Jeff Tambellini. And then he comes back to the Canucks at the end of the 2006-2007 season. Played 20 games for the Canucks at the end of that year.
Right.
What did they give up for him, Jason? They gave up a second round pick and a fourth round pick.
Wait a minute. When we sent him to the Islanders, we got a second rounder.
Yes.
And that's it.
And that's it.
But when we got him back from LA...
For 20 games only, because we let him walk after that, We gave up a second round and a fourth round.
And a fourth round pick. Okay.
Yeah.
Sell low, buy high?
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
Further, now, this was all pre-Gillis, right?
This was pre-Gillis. I think it was Berkey that traded him, and then Nonis that reacquired him.
Dave Nonis brought him back. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting side note, Wayne Simmonds is that second round pick, and he's now a standout with the Los Angeles Kings.
Wayne Simmonds, whose stock rose exponentially during this playoff, yes, because he was one of the guys that almost put LA over Vancouver in, yes, the first round this year in the playoffs.
Yeah. So Sopel goes on, signs a deal with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's now just finished his third season there.
Didn't he try out with the Red Wings?
He did, actually, yes. Yeah, he left their training camp just immediately before the season started to sign his free agent deal with the Blackhawks. He was on a pro tryout with the Wings to try and get on their squad.
So interesting. Either way, he would have had a cup.
Yes. Yeah. So Sopel, after 3 years with the Hawks and what is that, about 11 NHL seasons, he's now finally got a cup ring.
And so Brent Sopel's name will be on the Stanley Cup.
On the Stanley Cup. Fortunately, they are not going to engrave his image.
But that is quite fortunate.
Yes. In this city, though, it's not going to be his Stanley Cup ring. It's not going to be his 42 points. He's going to be known in this city for an incident just before the 2007 playoffs where he was injured in a most unusual fashion.
All right, what was her name?
It was his daughter.
Ew.
So I don't think it's where you were going.
Ew.
He's at home with his family.
Right.
Everyone's having a good time. Daughter's
ew.
Says daughter's eating crackers. She drops one. Oops. Presumably very hungry. Sopel bends over and picks the cracker up off the ground. His back refuses to let him get back up. He's forced to sit out the first game of the 2007 playoffs with back spasms.
Now, I think I remember this story. Like you said, this is what he's remembered for in the city, other than his greasy
mullet,
redneck hair.
Yeah.
That game is the one that went into quadruple overtime.
Yes, it is.
So technically he only missed one game.
But he missed about 2.25.
He missed more than two games worth of hockey.
Yeah.
Right? Smart. Smart.
So yeah, Henrik Sedin won it for them. The Canucks ended up winning that series.
If I remember correctly, that was the first time in NHL history that a goaltender got two shutouts in a series, but lost the series. Because Marty Turco shut the Canucks out twice in that series.
Good trivia. To this day, Brent Sopel has not told us whether it was a Ritz or a saltine cracker.
I'm going Triscuit.
All right. They're yummy.
No, I mean, I'm going to go get a Triscuit right now because all this cracker talk has made me hungry. All
right, well, you do that, Jason, and I think right now we're going to roll the tape. We can still roll tape, can't we?
I think we can say roll tape.
Okay.
I just hit a button, but we'll roll tape.
Well, we are going to roll the tape then of our awards predictions.
Right. And now, once again, we recorded this a few weeks ago so as not to be tainted by the subsequent Blackhawk victory in the playoffs. But before we do that, I'd just like to say once again, please go to fiveholeforfood.com. Check out Mosey19's awesome project, collecting food for the food bank. Over 700,000 people use the food bank in Canada every month, mm-hmm, I believe. Sunset Beach Park, 5:30 July 9th. Bring your ball hockey stick. Bring whatever Canucks or Canadian jersey you want to wear. Support Richard Lote and fiveholeforfood.com. First, I'd like to say thank you to CanucksCorner.com. They have agreed to host us, despite the fact that we're most of the time just sophomoric morons, really. Sophomorons. We're sophomorons. Yeah, hacks.
Hacks.
Yeah, we're pretty much hacks. The Art Ross has already been decided, and that is our Henke.
Henke. Henrik Sedin.
Henrik Sedin, number 33 on your program.
Number one in your heart.
Oh, very nice. We're both full of cheese. What's Swedish for cheese, Chris?
I do not know.
All right. Swiss cheese. I know Swiss cheese.
What's Swiss cheese?
It's the one with holes in it, you idiot. Let's get right into... Well, which one do you want to do first?
Let's do the Lady Bing because I don't care about it.
You like to start with the I don't care part. You do that quite a bit.
Build up to a crescendo, man.
You trying to show off your musical knowledge there, or?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Good on you. The Lady Bing is presented annually to the player adjudged to have exhibited the best type of sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of playing ability. Is this kind of like the participation ribbon?
Yes. As such, it should go to the lowest ranked player out of the nominees.
All right. The nominees this year, Pavel Datsyuk, Brad Richards, and Martin St-Louis.
So do you agree with my premise? I mean, generally speaking, participation award, most sportsmanlike team goes to the worst team in a tournament. And yeah, I think Martin St-Louis had a really tough year with the Bolts, and he should get a trophy for it.
Hmm. Well, okay. Datsyuk has won four in a row. He's not on a crappy team.
No.
I mean, this is a team that's gone to the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years running, and he's won four straight. So that kind of, that makes your premise kind of moot.
All right, we'll give it to Datsyuk again.
Because you don't care.
Because I don't care.
Yeah, give him an even
five. If you're looking back on your career as an athlete, and you say, wow, I won the most sportsmanlike player in the league award 5 years running.
And gentlemanly.
All right.
The ladies like a gentleman.
Do you care? Or are you just walking around showing people your three Stanley Cup rings or whatever?
So this sounds kind of bitter on your part. Is there a participation ribbon in your past that you're not happy about?
Several.
Okay. Brad Richards has won it before and been a runner-up, and Martin St-Louis has, get this, he's placed second 3 years running.
Wow. How much does it have to suck to get nominated for most sportsmanlike player on a bad team and finish as the runner-up?
Yeah, about as much as it probably sucks to live in Tampa. No offense to our listeners in Tampa, because I'm sure there are just thousands of people raving about hockey in Tampa Bay listening to us right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go on to, which one next? We could go on to...
Selke.
Let's do the Selke. Ryan Kesler!
Yeah.
Number 17.
Winner.
Is the winner.
He's the winner.
You think so?
Give it to him.
Once again, Pavel Datsyuk up for the award.
Yeah.
And it is, and Jordan Staal, the Penguins. None of those guys are slouches.
No. Jordan Staal is kind of new to this particular game.
The Frank J. Selke Trophy is given to the forward who best excels in the defensive aspects of the game. I'm actually quoting the NHL trophy descriptions from their website. This one is, as with the Lady Bing, is chosen by the Professional Hockey Writers Association.
Kesler and Datsyuk were 1-2 last year.
I believe so. That sounds familiar. I actually don't have that in front of me. I'm sorry.
My recollection is that Datsyuk won it, but...
And what the hell, give it to him.
Yeah.
But you think Kesler out-defended him this year?
Yes. I think Datsyuk, because he scores so many goals so consistently for Detroit, I think he's just more in the public mind and in the writers' minds. And Which would give him votes.
So... You think Kessler's going to win? I don't get that logic.
Did I say Kessler?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you started, because I said Kessler was nominated, and you said, and the winner. You said Kessler's going to win it.
I think Kessler will win it.
I know, but so how does Kessler win if Datsyuk's the one in the writer's mind? That's what I'm saying.
Because Kessler this year has scored a considerable number of goals. He was pushing 30, I think, wasn't he?
I think he got 25. Yeah.
Yeah. He's also been the more consistent defensive player, I think.
Also, I think... The writers this year are going to take the Olympics into account.
Think so?
For that one. I think Kessler really got into everybody's mind.
Yeah, it's hard not to take things like that into account.
Huge contract that he signed.
Yeah.
Right? He had a huge voice in the Olympics, massive presence for the Americans. Yeah, I definitely think that he's got a legitimate shot at it. If Henrik has a shot to win the Hart, Kessler's got a shot to win the Selke.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about the Hart Trophy? Of course, there were five original nominees, and it was just announced today that Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, and Henrik Sedin are the three finalists. So the two goalies who were on the list, Ryan Miller and Ilya Bryzgalov, did not garner enough votes to be in the top three. Is that a surprise for you?
A little bit, but given that the goaltenders have their own award, I'm not too offended. that they took out Brizgalov and, or that nobody voted for Brizgalov and Miller.
Right.
It is much harder for a goaltender to be seen as the most valuable player. But because they're getting pulled from games because they're not playing in every game.
And yet every single coach and every single player will tell you that your goaltender is your most valuable player game in and game out. If your goaltender plays poorly, you lose. If he plays well, you win. Yaroslav Halak, need I say more?
Well, you make a very good point, and yet the application of most valuable to your team, for whatever reason, very seldom includes goaltenders.
Right. And, well, we have seen it. Dominik Hasek won 2 in a row.
Yeah. Teodor won it.
Won it, and then decided not to play anymore.
Yeah. Patrick Waugh won it at one time.
Did he I don't believe he did.
No?
I do not believe he ever won a Hart Trophy. Hart Trophy, of course, is awarded annually to the player adjudged to be the most valuable to his team. That's an interesting thing. It's not the league MVP. Like in the NBA, for example, it's the league MVP. This is the most valuable to his team. I find that to be very interesting wording because it doesn't turn out that way.
No. They should probably change the wording because the effect is the same as the NBA. You're, you know, basically going with the league MVP.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's an interesting question. A lot of people just say Alex Ovechkin because he's won the last 2 of them.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby, of course, won it the year before Ovechkin did. Henrik Sedin has never been in the mix, but he did win the Art Ross, and very often those two go together.
He won the Art Ross. A lot of people are publicly saying that they voted for Henrik Sedin.
We've got a few TSN writers, ESPN guys, who said that Henrik was up there.
Yeah.
One thing that I really like about Henrik, he makes, and I know this is cliche, but he makes the players around him better.
Yes.
Right? Look at, over the years, how many guys have been on that line with the Sedins and had career years?
He creates 30 goal scorers.
Trent Klatt.
Yeah.
Had a career year with the Sedins. Anson Carter had 33 goals with the Sedins. Taylor Pyatt had a career year with the Sedins. Alex Burrows and Michael Samuelson both had career years this year. In the same year, playing with the Sedins. Playing half a season each with the Sedins.
Yeah.
Guys, and I mean, Daniel Sedin had a career year, even though he missed 19 games. Henrik makes those around him better. He has not missed a game in 5 seasons. Yeah. Alex Ovechkin takes suspensions, and his team wins without him.
His team plays better without him on a winning
percentage. Statistically, on a winning percentage basis, they win more games without him in the lineup than they do with him in the lineup. And he gets so much ice time that other star players don't perform as well on that roster.
Yes.
Sidney Crosby, like Henrik, is a team player.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 50 goals this year, but he makes those around him better. Do you think that Billy Guerin would still be playing in the league if he were not playing with Sidney Crosby?
I don't know. It's a good question. He certainly wouldn't be producing at the level that he is without
Sidney
Crosby.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, you look at a guy like Shanahan, right? And he's retired.
Yeah.
He's a guy who ostensibly could play, right? And if he were playing with Sidney Crosby, I think he would be playing and he would still be scoring goals.
Yeah, that's possible.
Right? I really think that this is a two-horse race between Sidney, or should be a two-horse race between Sidney Crosby and Henrik Sedin.
Yeah. It's a pity that, in some respects, that the playoffs don't come into effect. The voting is done on these.
Oh, yeah.
And
the playoffs Ovechkin wouldn't get a vote.
No.
Even though, I mean, he didn't play poorly, but he couldn't bring his, he wasn't important enough to his team to get them past a team they should beat.
He played without heart.
I don't buy that. I mean, he had 10 points.
That was a pun. Come on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you got me on that one.
All right, let's move on from this. Why don't we talk about the Vezina Trophy?
Vezina. Certainly, as you know, Chris, the Vezina Trophy is presented annually to the goalkeeper adjudged to be the best at his position, as voted by the general managers of each of the 30 clubs. I did not know that. That's voted on by the GMs, not by the writers.
Learn something new every day.
Brodeur, Martin Brodeur. He's pretty much nominated because he's on the roster.
Yes.
Although he had a really good season.
Won the Jennings as the goaltender for the team with the fewest goals allowed.
For him to still be doing that is amazing.
Yeah.
He's had an NHL record-writing season.
Yes.
He got a 600th win. 600 wins. He's now the shutout leader.
Past Sawchuk.
Of all time. Yeah. Past Terry Sawchuk. Like, I mean, but this is history in the making, man. And this is not...
It is history.
It's not like Henrik winning the Art Ross, where it's just cute little Vancouver fans who've only had a team for a while, and they sucked for a bunch of time, and, oh, we got an Art Ross winner, woohoo. No, this is passing Terry Sawchuk as the all-time shutout leader in NHL history.
It's impressive. I don't know that it wins him the Vezina. If it does win him the Vezina... I think that the GMs are voting with their hearts and not with their heads.
And you don't think that that voting with their hearts is a possibility?
It's a possibility.
People vote with their hearts all the time.
Yeah. I don't think he should win it.
You know what? I going back on my heart prediction, I do want Hank to win. I know you do too, even though I threw you under the bus a couple of podcasts ago. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if some of the writers give Sidney Crosby the vote because of the Olympics and that golden goal.
Yeah, it's possible.
The nostalgic vote is not unheard of. I'll say Al Pacino winning Best Actor for Scent of a Woman, for example.
Yeah, there you go. It should, I think, go to Ilya Bryzgalov.
Ilya Bryzgalov in Phoenix. Outstanding, amazing, incredible. How many other adjectives you want to add in there? What a season they had in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And the good thing I like about Phoenix playing the way they did and taking Detroit to 7 games in the first round... nearly pulling it off, but I mean, they just didn't have the experience to go into a 7th game like that. These guys won and played so well all year. There was no conspiracy. There were no calls where teams were saying, you know, I can't play in Phoenix because, you know, the calls go against us. They just outright won games.
Yeah.
And Ilya Bryzgalov was a huge reason why.
You look at that team and, man, it's a bunch of kids and a bunch of wash-ups. Adriana Coyne? Are you kidding
Adriana Coyne, Jovanovski, Taylor Pyatt. Well, I mean, they traded for Wojciech Wolski. And, just, I mean,
They got Lee Stempniak from the Leafs,
too. Also a member of the all-name team.
Yeah.
The other finalist for the Vezina is Ryan... Oh my God, we just lost to the Bruins, Miller. Ryan, thank you for the silver medal, Miller. Ryan, I look like a bobblehead Miller.
He's so good. He's so good. I just think Bryzgalov was better this year.
I honestly think that the writers are going to go with Bruder. I'm not saying that's right.
Yeah, no, it would be wrong.
I think Bryzgalov deserves it. I think Bruder is going to get the vote. Going on to the Calder, of course, the Calder is given to the player that is adjudged to be the best rookie.
The three nominees are Myers from Buffalo.
Tyler Myers.
Duchesne from Colorado.
Matt, not Steve.
Yes, and Howard.
Named Jimmy Howard.
Jimmy Howard, that's a great sports name right
Jimmy
there.
Jimmy Howard. This winner is selected by the Professional Hockey Writers. I really would like to see Matt Duchesne win it, but I think Tyler Myers is going to take it.
I think that's an East Coast bias, or was he better?
I think a little of both. I think Matt Duchesne, didn't he miss some games near the end? A little bit.
Not too much.
It's also just the fact that he plays for Colorado, and they're not a great team right now. I think Buffalo just gets more attention. And Tyler Myers plays a really good two-way game.
Does he? I'll be perfectly honest. I haven't seen enough of Tyler Myers to formulate an opinion.
So your pick is?
Duchesne.
Duchesne. Jimmy Howard had a good year.
From Christmas on.
Took Detroit, who was in 10th place in the West. At Christmas time,
mm-hmm.
And they're fifth, and he won game 7.
You know what? That was because he was not bad. You know, he was good at times, but you know what? That was a team that had some huge injuries that came back right around that time,
mm-hmm.
And it all started to come together for
him. Yeah, and that's a good point. There are a lot of injuries on that team in the first half, and I mean, this is a dangerous Detroit team.
Yeah.
And this is a team that won the cup, a couple of cups with Chris Osgood, so they don't need a great goalie back there, so that's a good point. So I say Myers.
I've got Duchesne.
Yeah. All right.
Let's do the Jack Adams.
Jack Adams, of course, is given to the NHL coach adjudged to have contributed the most to his team's success. The nominees are Joe Sacco in Colorado, Dave Tippett of Phoenix, and Barry Trotz of Nashville. Barry Trotz should win. Maybe he can actually have it surgically implanted as a neck.
Yeah, I think Barry Trotz will win just because he's going to scare the hockey writers with his face into voting for them.
Right. This is a guy who has the squarest shoulders in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he should be a cartoon character. I can't remember the name of the dog was called Muttley. He used to fly airplanes around.
You're old.
I'm old. But anyway, yeah, he just looks like an evil guy in a bad mafia movie.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Was it Kick a Ginger Day? I thought Corey Clouston should have been on this this list.
Kick a Ginger Day? What the hell are you talking about?
I'm not old, and therefore I've watched South Park from time to time.
Kick a Ginger Day.
Oh, I thought Corey Clouston should have been on the list.
All right.
I was implying a redhead bias of some kind.
I got that by the ginger thing.
Okay.
I didn't think you were kicking the attractive one on Gilligan's Island. I'm old, remember? I give it to Dave Tippett.
It should go to Dave Tippett. The job that he's done under unbelievable circumstances in Phoenix, with the whole management situation, Tippett should win it hands down.
Yeah, it's just, especially after how poorly that team performed with Wayne Gretzky there, they showed a couple of flashes, right, of maybe doing something, but they just never came together. They all seemed, with so many distractions.
Do you think Gretzky's a bad coach, or do you think the players are just sitting on the bench going, holy crap, Gretzky's behind me?
A little of both.
The best coaches are usually the ones who had to work at the game and had to learn and understand the game. Gretzky, it was all natural.
Right.
So he's, you know, a lot of those guys are saying, well, just go do it.
Right. Okay. Norris Trophy, which of course is given to the player adjudged to be the best NHL defenseman. This is Drew Doughty in LA, Duncan Keith in Chicago, and Mike Green in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I read one writer was actually, a Washington-based writer, was embarrassed that Mike Green was in the finalists.
It's a little odd to me, because he's not a stellar defensive defenseman.
The writers in the Writers Association were looking at numbers only,
yeah.
Offensive numbers only, and they were not looking at the glaring defensive mistakes that this guy has made.
Here's my take on this. As a Canadian, I look at those three Norris Trophy candidates. I look at the one that people think should be on that list who's not, Shea Weber in Nashville. The four best defensemen in the National Hockey League are Team Canada players.
And you look at some of the guys who have won it before who are still playing. Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
There's one Norris's. Niedermeyer.
And for the listeners out there, I'm aware that Mike Green was not on the Olympic team, but you know he was right on the bubble.
Which is actually what this writer in Washington was saying. I'm sorry, I don't know the guy's name. But he was saying that Mike Green was not on Team Canada because of his defensive liability.
Yes.
That he has an offensive upside.
That's
period.
It's not counterbalanced by his defense.
He's essentially a fourth forward.
He's a hell of a power play quarterback, but yeah, you put him on in a 5-on-5 situation, and he's a liability in 5-on-5 play.
All right, so my vote goes to Drew Doughty. I think the world of this guy. You compared him to Bobby Orr on the last podcast. I think that's. I mean, it's too early, but it's only a little bit of a stretch. Stretch because you don't want to compare anybody to Bobby Orr, right? Yeah. That's a tough one to live up to. But this guy is good.
Let's be clear, Bobby Orr. If we adjusted Bobby Orr's skills and conditioning and everything and put him in present day, he could not play the way that he played. The game has changed too much. Drew Doughty comes as close to Bobby Orr's game with the coast to coast, with the going behind the net, with the offensive upside combined with incredible defense. He comes as close to Bobby Orr as we're going to come for a long time.
And this kid, and I say kid because he's young,
yeah.
This kid is somebody who could dominate the Norris Trophy for the next decade or more.
He could be the Nick Lidstrom of the 2010s.
Great quote, by the way, from Henrik Zetterberg. He was talking about Nick Lidstrom. And he said something about, that's why Nick Lidstrom has 7 Norris trophies. And the reporter said 6. And he said, 6? Well, he should have 7. It's a great story. Is that all the trophies we got?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That is it for this episode. I'm Jason Carello.
I'm Chris Withers. Thanks a lot for tuning in, folks.
That's how it all shook down about 5 weeks ago when Chris and I got together to make our NHL Awards picks. The award ceremony itself is about 24 hours away as I record this outro, so by now you should know whether or not Henrik indeed has a Hart trophy and whether or not Ryan Kessler has his name on the Selke.
We will be getting back together very soon in order to talk about free agency. Has Mike Gillis made a big splash, or are we standing pat and watching as guys like Kyle Wellwood make their way to other rosters? We will talk all about that. We will also hopefully see you guys at Five Hole for Food on July 9th. Once again, it's a great event, and Vancouver guy Richard Lote has put it all together. Make sure that you're down at Sunset Beach on July 9th with your food and with your hockey stick for Five Hole for Food. Jason Carello for the Adrift on the Sea that is the Internet with No Name Podcast. Sayonara.
Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a construction crane, and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman, and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seems so strange. Time for
cheese. What's Swedish for cheese, Chris?
I do not know.
All right. Swiss cheese. I know Swiss cheese.
What's Swiss cheese?
It's the one with holes in it, you idiot.